Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 362, the stanzas 2 and 3. I wait for God the Lord, and on his word my hope relies. My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise. And what follows, Psalter 362, the stanzas 2 and 3. Thank you. a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 59, beginning at the 9th verse through the 60th chapter, verse 12. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 59, beginning at the 9th verse through the 12th verse of chapter 60. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, and we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, as saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. And they shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Assuredly the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish, first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Thus far, the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Kobe Slingeland, who was still in the Lethbridge Hospital, Mr. Johan Klok, where further tests are being done today because of his worsening condition, and Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who has been in and out of the hospital because of intestinal problems. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy providence and in the way of thy great mercy, thy goodness, and thy long suffering, that thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day and the possibility to come up to thy courts. Then thou hast watched over each and every one of us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then we have been the recipients of many blessings, where thy mercies have abounded for another week. Then thou hast made a difference with great numbers upon the face of the earth, among young and old, that were ushered into eternity, and we may still be in the precious day of grace. But in this week, we have stood on the cemetery with a mourning family round about an open grave. O Lord, wilt thou remember that family circle? Oh, do remember our brother elder, who has now become a widower, and where that shall become more and more reality and experienced. Wilt thou be his helper and upholder ever near? Wilt thou remember that whole family circle then thou wast spoken in a special way. May the calling richly be sanctified for the coming of thy kingdom, Lord. I do remember the many mourning ones in our midst, where there are many empty places, which remain so empty. May out of that mourning another mourning be born, and that is a mourning for our sins, and a need to be washed in that precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, do work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old by thy blessed Spirit. We have heard rich things out of thy word, a people that sat in darkness, and O Lord, by nature we are sitting in that pitch black darkness, and we understand and we realize it not, and we are not grieved about the same, but O Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that has become exercised with that darkness, that bitter sorrow, with those desires and with those longings, that they may be brought to the light. Ah, Lord, then in these weeks, then thy church may meditate in a special way upon the coming of thy dear Son in the flesh. And then we humbly ask thee, where there is no need, wilt thou work that need today? And where that need has been felt, wilt thou grant those prayers? Wilt thou grant that looking unto thee? Wilt thou grant that waiting? Ah, Lord, as the watchers watch for the morning light, wilt thou grant that expectation, the exercise of faith, when there are souls with an unfulfilled promise, also concerning Advent, may it be this season that thou may fulfill the same, that he may be an embracing people, a beholding people, a rejoicing people, a praising people, and to experience that sweet communion, a Lord, with thee. Ah, Lord, we have heard out of thy word of thy wonderful works, of a people in darkness to be brought to that glorious light, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also the extent of that work, that it shall be a great work, that there shall be great multitudes brought forth, even from the ends of the earth. Ah, Lord, may we be included by thy grace, and that number do so a great work amongst us. May the prayers be multiplied for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. So we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Ah, there are many that are not enabled to come together to worship thee and to hear what thou hast to say unto them. Wilt thou remember all those that are persecuted and in prison, and then what makes us and our children to differ? Lord, remember the manifold needs. An old widow remains in the hospital. Thou hast given some improvement, that she may become a little stronger. May thou continue to do so, and that on this Sabbath day in the hospital, that ye may receive a special Sabbath day blessing. A Lord, a young father with many concerns, with increasing concerns, and to that end in this day, further testing, may thou grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding. Wilt thou remember him with his dear wife, with her two little children? Grant them a place together at thy footstool, where they may come with these circumstances to be given to cry unto thee, and at the solemn callings, that they may be sanctified to their souls. Lord, remember the handicapped daughter who has been in and out of the hospital in this week, much discomfort and pain. May it please thee to spread thy gracious wings over her. Wilt thou also for her give unto the doctors wisdom and understanding, and may there be means, and may the means be blessed. And, Lord, above all, be mindful of her never-dying soul. Wilt thou so remember all the sick and afflicted under the physician's care, with many fears and with many worries. May their eyes be upon thee. Remember the crosses, the burdens. May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we now humbly ask thee in this morning hour, that thou may richly dwell amongst us, that thou may fulfill by thy Spirit the rich portion we have read out of thy holy word. Oh, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. To that end do open thy word, and that with freedom and liberty we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. Wilt thou remember all the listeners go from heart to heart, and from bench to bench, from dwelling to dwelling, remember those that are ill at home. We commend unto thee our branch. Wilt thou richly bless thy word to the hearts also in this day. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 210, the first four stanzas. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hand stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. And what follows? Psalter 210, the first four stanzas. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 60, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Our text words speak of Isaiah's prophecy of the glorious coming of the light. With four thoughts, in the first place, the desperate need of the light. Secondly, the sure arising of the light. Thirdly, the plain command concerning this light. And fourthly, the great influence of this light. Isaiah's prophecy of the glorious coming of the light. The desperate need, the sure arising, the plain command, and the great influence of this light. Thus first, the desperate need of the light. Beloved congregation, our text words are taken from the latter chapters of the prophet Isaiah. The first 39 chapters, they were spoken also concerning events that have transpired during the life of Isaiah, thus in a time before they have went into captivity. And it is true also in the first 39 chapters what glorious things we find, what encouragements for the church, what precious prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. And now in the chapters 40 through 66, they are words spoken for a people. The Lord is so good and so kind for his people that they succumb not under the burdens then before they have went into captivity. And then the Lord has given them special and precious instruction concerning that time and the promises of a sure deliverance. And then it is very clear in those prophecies, then the prophet was given to speak concerning the context for a people who would be in that faraway Babylon in captivity. But when we read those prophecies, then it is clear that those prophecies extend further, that they refer to the living church, and also prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah in the fullness of time. And so it is evident that our text words are also such a prophecy. And when we read in our text, arise, shine, afore thy light is come. And then it refers to the chapter before, Isaiah 59, where the prophet has spoken of sin, of confession, and of deliverance. And that shall be the experience of the true child of God. And then in our text words, because the Lord makes room for that special light, then we read in verse 2-4, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Then we read in chapter 59, in verse 1, that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save all congregation. We read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that he can save to the uttermost. Ah, what an encouragement for souls, for those seeking souls that cannot save themselves, but also it may be encouragement for the unconverted that are living in that pitch black darkness, that are not grieved about that darkness, that are not sorrowful for that darkness, who are living for the time, for their body, and do not think so much, because I think we all think sometimes about our soul, but not so much, that through that precious Messiah, that there are no impossible cases, and then the necessity that we place ourselves faithfully under the means of grace, where the Lord is in a special way promised to gather his church. Thus the Lord's hand is not saved, but your iniquities that make the separation. Then in the next verses, many sins mentioned. And then in the verses 9 and 10, then that people is described, as we find in verse 2 of our text, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Then we read in verse 9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon, day as in the night. Thus we read the condition of that people that was in captivity. And it was because of their sins. In verse 12 we read of transgression, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Thus that people in Babylon, they were given to consider, they were given to reflect for the reasons why Jerusalem was burnt, the temple was burnt, why they were under the realm of the Babylonians, and where it seems no escape was possible. We have sung together from Psalm 77, Psalter 210, of the prayers of the church that are given to search their hearts very closely, and yet no deliverance. Ah, then it was clear for that people in captivity. They were feeble people, they had no weapons, and the army of Babylon was powerful and great, that from human side there was no way to escape. But then the prophet Isaiah was given to so richly and so freely proclaim that the Lord would send deliverance, that he would be delivered. But then he was given to further speak, because it is very clear in chapter 59 and also in chapter 60 that the prophet Isaiah many times called the evangelist of the Old Testament, that he is given to speak of richer things, how the people of God may be delivered by that Redeemer. And so we read in our text words of a people that was given to sit in darkness. And not only to sit in darkness, but also gross darkness shall cover the people. And now there is a great difference. By nature, then we are all under that darkness. But now the Lord has a people that become exercised with that darkness, that become sorrowful, that are given to mourn and ask the Lord for the light. And for such a people, a certain light has already risen, that they are given to see and to experience their darkness. And darkness in Scripture, that refers to different things, that refers to ignorance. Matthew 4, the verses 13 through 16. Then Christ has spoken of a people of Zebulun, Naphtali, in Galilee, that would dwell in darkness, and that the light would arise. Then darkness also refers to discouragement, to despair, that the church may come as an Elijah under the juniper tree. Then darkness refers to unbelief. Think of a Thomas after the resurrection, when he could not see it anymore. Then in darkness, then that people are given to stumble, as we have heard out of Isaiah 59, then they are in great danger to lose their way or to fall into a pit. Thus that was now the condition of a people in captivity. But our text words speak also of the future, also the New Testament church. What a dark time it has become. In the Scriptures, the last prophet Malachi, who was prophesied so richly also of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in the Scriptures, we do not read of a prophet for 400 years. We do read in Psalm 74, verse 9, that the psalmist has lamented, "We see not our signs, neither is there no prophet, and none among us knowest how long." Thus that darkness, that is a time of great distress and of great difficulty, and blessed that people that may be exercised with it. And how is it now with that darkness for us, congregation? Or do we not have trouble with it? Because by nature, through our deep fallen Adam, we have plunged ourselves into great darkness, into great misery, and our greatest misery is that we know not our misery and that we are not troubled therewith. But now it is the work of the Spirit to teach His true people and to be exercised with that darkness. And we have stated, when that may be so, then this light has shone already in our heart, a light concerning the law, but that people shall learn that the law cannot save them, that they are guilty sinners still, especially the sins of their heart. Oh, how burdened they become in that captivity, and they learn that they can never deliver themselves. But now it is the Lord's work, through that precious Redeemer He has been described in Isaiah 59, to deliver His people. And to that end, our second thought, the sure arising of the light. And that is an arising of light in the way of grace, but also needed in the way of providence, because the ways of the Lord can be so mysterious. And Christ has said unto His disciples, what He doest now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And to that end, in our text words we read, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And then in verse 2, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Then there is a difference. And then there could be a question, how can that now be? Because in verse 1, the prophet is given to proclaim, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And in verse 2, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Thus verse 1, then it is present, then it has happened. And in verse 2, then it is for the future. Then concerning verse 1, then it is in the way of promise, and we have stated, when the Lord works, then He causes that precious light to shine in our hearts, and then we are given to see and experience things which we have never experienced before. And now it is the work of the Spirit to bring such souls to the glorious light of the gospel. And then when the Lord grants a promise, and they may embrace it by true saving faith, then it is come, it is present, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 1. But then the church still needs the fulfillment. And now in the time of Isaiah, then the prophet may be given to speak so richly and so clearly of that light that would come, oh, in the context when it would be sounded abroad, that whoever was willing and able, they may return to the promised land. But much more in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ would come in the fullness of time. Thus the sure arising of the light. Do we need that light, congregation? Can be still a blessing when we have impressions, and that we oftentimes think about these matters of the Lord, of our soul, of that one thing needful, and that we are convinced of the truths of God's word, of free and sovereign grace, the way that the Lord gathers His people. But many times can even be that we are not so desirous for the light, that we love to be left in our comfort zone, not to be disturbed too much under the old truth, free and sovereign grace. We can do nothing, so we do nothing, and so we travel on. Then it can be, that we are not so glad and happy with the deep preaching of the uncovering of the law. When it is in general, it's not so bad. And when there is spoken to our neighbor, then we are happy. But when our personal sins are mentioned, then we are not so glad with that light. Then we would rather continue in that darkness. Then it can also be concerning the free and the rich proclamation of that precious Savior, of a willing Savior to save, that he can save to the uttermost. And it is our own fault when we go lost. Then we can also not be so glad, because then the guilt is brought home that it is all our fault, and we love to have excuses and so travel on. Can also be, and we live in a day that there are also people that are not so glad with the separating preaching of the precious and the vile. Because then for those foolish virgins, then they are not so happy with the light. But the Lord has a people upon the earth. And we read in Psalm 36 verse 9, "In thy light we see light." And to that end, those souls, they are given to prayerfully search the word of God and ask whether they may come to that glorious light of the gospel, because in that gross darkness, that people learn that their debt only becomes greater. But now for that people, oh, what a rich blessing, because we read, "For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And then further, "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." That's three times thee. And that is a people mentioned in the former chapter. A people that have learned what sinners they are. That is a people that cannot miss the Lord. And what are we now to understand by that light? Then in the context, that glorious message that may be brought, "Captives, you may take your harps from the willows, you may gather your possessions, and you may freely, unhindered, return to the promised land to rebuild the sanctuary, to worship the Lord as he has commanded in his word." But it is clear in the prophet Isaiah that he speaks of richer times, because verse 3, that was not really so fulfilled. Oh, undoubtedly, there were some that have went along, were given to see what a blessed and a privileged people that was, but not to a great extent in verse 3. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Then it is very clear that our text words speak of that New Testament church, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ would be born in the stable, that he would come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but that his glory would be veiled behind his human nature, that he would come to merit salvation for a poor and a needy people. And to that end, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And in Luke 1, verse 78, the day spring from on high hath visited us. Then it is clear that our text words refer to the fullness of time. Then that light. And the Lord is free. For the one soul, it arises quicker than for another soul. But each soul shall know what it is to walk, to sit in darkness, those dark nights of impossibilities, when it can no more, those dark nights, when the wild animals come out of their dens, the devil, that they are so assaulted, and it is true for that people, when they may see some twinkling stars, when they may still have a promise which the Lord has given unto them, which has not been fulfilled, and when it may be lively and exercised, oh, then what eager expectation there is for the morning. Think of Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And then in the following verse, that he was given to wait for the Lord as the morning. Then how eagerly they are begging and they are praying that that morning may arise. Do we not read thereof in Malachi 4 verse 2? For unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, are there such advanced souls in my midst? Then it is promised that the light shall arise and that the glory of the Lord shall be upon thee. It is promised by a God who shall not lie. It is the work of the Spirit to bring them to that glorious light. And then what an encouragement it is. In that dark night, when in the east, they may see a little glimmer of light. It is not the sun, but it is the light of the sun. Then they are so happy. Then they are given to rejoice. And then they are given to eagerly look and expect and wait for the moment that the sun may arise. Are there such souls in my midst with those desires? Ah, that have to confess, I am so ignorant in heavenly ways. Was a time I thought I knew exactly how it had to go. But now it goes so different. But I cannot remain in that darkness, becoming so unbearable. Oh, many times they are given to unburden the heart. Oh, it is true. It is proof of the light which they have received. But concerning that light, the further leadings, and therefore the necessity of the means of grace, seeking it, creeping through the word of God, because do we not read in Psalm 119, verse 105, that the word of God is as a light, as a lamp upon my pathway, and now when the sun may arise, what does it give? Oh, we have mentioned light. It also gives, as those that work in construction in the winter time, then when the sun arises, it is true, it can be so far in the south that it is not so powerful, but when those rays may penetrate their clothes and warm them up. Ah, then the sun thus gives light, gives warmth, gives life, gives everything what a soul needs. As I read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, for in Christ Jesus of God he has made wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thus the rising, it is written in God's word that the light is come in the way of promise, and the Lord shall fulfill that promise, and we shall not speak of that waiting, and that exercises the impossibilities, the lessons learned. Nevertheless, that old Zacharias in a song, he has declared in Luke 1 verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Our third thought, the plain command, let us first sing. Psalter 71, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? And what follows, Psalter 71, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thank you. Isaiah's prophecy of the glorious coming of the light. The desperate need, the sure arising, and now thirdly, the plain command concerning this light. Then when we read in our text words arise, then it is similar, then we may mention Psalm 42 verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall praise him for the help of his countenance. Then the prophet Isaiah is given to declare to that troubled people in captivity that desired the light. Then he is given to declare precious things. And then you shall say, but that command, can that people now do that? That's maybe the question of souls. Does the command arise, but how does that now go? Then in that command of the king, because I read in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4, that with the speaking of the king there is power and authority. Then when the Lord commands his people to arise, then he also grants it that has been merited by Christ. Then he grants that they shall arise. We could give a few examples. Think of Matthew 8. When Christ has said to that leper, I will that thou be clean. And then at the same moment, he was cleansed. When Peter in Acts 9 was given to say to Tabitha, that widow that had died, that she must arise. Then by the power of God, she was given to rise. And so it is in our text. It's not only a command, but the Lord, at the moment of his favor and good pleasure, then he gives unto such a one that they may arise and that they may be given to behold the glory of the king. Then they are given to look, think in numbers of that people that have been bitten, given to look upon him, the serpent on the pole. Isaiah has declared in Isaiah 45 verse 22, look unto me all the ends of the earth and be saved. Oh, then in our text words with that word arise, then the Lord is given to speak to souls as I read in Jeremiah 8 verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the health of the daughter of my people not healed? Then in our text words, when the prophet is given to declare, arise, then he calls them to look upon that precious Jesus. And I read of him in Matthew 1 verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, to look into the manger of Bethlehem, that newborn child who has come to redeem his people, thus to arise, that people can be so bowed down, but the command and the Lord, because the Lord is such a faithful God for an unfaithful people, and it is the work of the Spirit to bring those souls to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now the command is twofold. First, to arise, and then second, to shine. Thus that church cannot remain hidden. And that shining in the marginal It also reads to also be enlightened, but they are enlightened for a purpose, because they read in Romans 7 verse 14 that none liveth unto himself and none dieth unto himself. Thus the command, and by renewal, what the king commands, he grants. There's a gift, a blessing that has been merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, that the true people of God are given to shine. John the Baptist was called in John 5 verse 35, a burning and a shining light. And Christ, already at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, after those 8 Beatitudes, and they shall be experienced by the true people of God, and they are blessed. But then following those Beatitudes, that it cannot remain hidden, that it shall become evident, that it shall become visible as proof of the grace that God has magnified in their hearts and in their lives. And to that end, Christ has said that they are as the salt of the earth and a light upon the hill, cannot remain hidden, that it shall be seen by our fellow man. An old father has stated in a certain place that he believed that there were very few single conversions, that people shall shine. No, that people cannot convert one. There are times they like to convert them all. Every boy and girl, every youth, middle-aged and elderly one, to take them all along, that they may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, that room is made in the hearts for that light, and that they may arise, and that they may be shine, because in that shining, then God is much glorified. The first petition, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And then they are given to shine, because I read in Romans 8 verse 29, that they become conformable to the image of God. Then they are given to mirror something of that image. Oh, it is true. A small beginning. And that people are often much ashamed, much sorrow, that they shine not as they ought to shine. Nevertheless, there shall be a beginning. How is it with that shining, people of God, in the way of gratitude, in the way of praise, a holy life, that shining shall be in the inner chamber, in the family circle, in the church, and in the community, and that shining is all a fruit of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are only given to reflect what they may receive from heaven. Thus it is a light that comes from heaven, and that is in opposition, because the prophet in Isaiah 50 verse 11 has spoken of another fire. Behold, ye that kindle a fire, but compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and ye shall lie down in sorrow. Our last thought, the great influence of this light. And then it is very clear concerning our last point, that it concerns later times, after the captivity, after the darkness of those 400 years before the birth of Christ, and that it refers to the day of Pentecost, the days thereafter, Reverend Robert McChain, concerning these words, then he believes that he also refer to the Jewish people in the latter days of the earth, when many shall be converted, when they shall come to the light, and that they shall be used, that they shall shine so brightly that many may be gathered in. And we read, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising, as Simeon in a song has declared in Luke 2 verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And then we read of such special things. Then we read in the few verses following, for the church, lift up thine eyes round about when the Lord works. That shall be our desire, that many shall be brought out of that darkness to that marvelous light. As the apostle have stated, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thus the church shines so brightly that the world is given to see it. The Gentiles, they are given to taste and realize that as a people, that is something and blessings which we do not have. That is a people that has received the special light, and we still live in darkness. And when the Lord works, then we are exercised with that darkness, not only here in the time, but also with that eternal darkness, if we are never converted, in that bottomless pit where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But what precious things we read, may it be our prayer. May we turn these verses into prayer. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Thus they are sons and daughters from other people, strangers, and yet Isaiah calls them, then they shall be thy sons and thy daughters. A blessing when they may be received in the way of prayer, and because of that wonderful work of the Lord, because we read in verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together. Thus then that people that are wrought upon by the Spirit, when they come, then they are accepted. Then it can even be that own children become strange, and those strangers, they become as thy sons and thy daughters because of the wonderful work of the Lord, that those sons and daughters may be given to tell of that Egyptian darkness and how the Spirit has led them and brought them to that glorious light, or need to come to that light, sons and daughters. And then we read, nursed at thy side, that is the duty of the church. And then further, we even read, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. And when we speak of the abundance of the sea, then we speak of the islands in a far away places, from the rivers to the ends of the earth. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And even that there shall come camels, kings, and they shall bring precious gifts because they have heard of that wonderful light of the King that was born. They shall bring gold and incense. And then we think of the wise men. That has been literally fulfilled, boys and girls, that they have come from faraway places, and that even the world, the rams of Nebia, shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance to mine altar, and I will glorify the Lord of the house of my glory. What precious things, congregation. And then needful that we are given to examine ourselves concerning that advent. Are we still living in darkness? Oh, ask then the Lord that he may open your eyes. Ah, then be as a Bartimaeus. He sat on the way where Jesus passed by. So that means never to leave our place in God's house empty, unlawfully, on the Sabbath day and during the week. And that we are given to ask with Bartimaeus, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. And then what precious things are declared. Things of free and sovereign grace. All arise to shine. And that the King is still gathering his church. Oh, after the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 verse 5, many tongues, many nations have come to Jerusalem, and afterwards, what great multitudes were gathered in. May it be our prayer that those verses following our text, included in our text, that they may be fulfilled in a very rich measure. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, and for that people arise, shine concerning that light. Then the psalmist has declared in Psalm 89 verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please thee to fulfill in a richer measure what we have heard out of thy holy word concerning the ingathering of thy church. Sons and daughters that shall be nursed, the flowing together of the hearts, because they are taught and instructed by the same Spirit, and that many shall come from different places with their gifts, also prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, remember us in this Sabbath day. Wilt thou grant thy help when we hope to meet with the confession of faith class? May they also be included in that number. What our text words have spoken of, work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 176, the stanzas 1 and 2. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a male members meeting this coming Thursday evening, December 14, at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of electing office bearers and other positions, as well as other business. Deacon Timon van Duyver has decided not to let himself be nominated. To that end, the following have been nominated by the consistory. For elder, Mr. Harry Kurhost, Pete Niels, Kees van de Breinhost, and John van Garderen. For deacon, Mr. Jerry Kluck, Harry Outhorn, Jesse Vandenberg, Jan Verduin. For trustee for the Bethesda Care Home, Mr. Ryan Den Boek, Bert Dinsberger, Mark Hengsmengel, Peter Kluck. For trustee for the Independent Living Homes Board, Mr. Casey Niels, Ed Vandenberg, Harry Van Manen, John Vanderwall. A list of the names are on the tables at the exit. And the Banner of Truth and the Canadian Lord's Day Association magazines are at the exit. Psalter 176, the stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.